Just want to congratulate everybody last week for the baptisms. It was a brilliant time down in Hillside Church in Greystones. Hands up who was there. Yeah, the place was packed down there and it was really brilliant. It was a great time of worship and also a great time of declaration in this church. I think it was 7 people got baptized, including my... 5? 9. Sorry. 9 people. Get it right, Eddie. 9 people got baptized, including my own son. But it wasn't official. He just fell into the pool. Where's he gone? He's gone. He's gone down. Yeah, so I heard a splash and looked around and there's my son swimming in the pool. So it was a tremendous time for the church, a tremendous kind of symbolism in regards to our growth and in regards to what we're achieving. But also, I have the privilege of baptizing, well, I'm going to baptize myself and a colleague of mine. We're going to baptize 10 guys out of Teen Challenge today. So, most of the guys are over there. They came just to visit us this morning and celebrate with us. So we're going to do that in Greystones this morning, about 2 o'clock on the beach. So I have a wetsuit, and I'm reliably informed that you won't feel any cold. So praise God. I can't handle the cold. Amen. Guys, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Eddie. I'm a member in this church from, I suppose, the very beginning. In regards to when we used to have meetings up on Dolphin's House, Noel and Sharon used to open up their flat to us. It was a 2-bedroom flat, and we used to just all squeeze in there and have a great time of worship and all that kind of stuff. And that's where this church grew from, you see. If some of you don't know the history of this church, we grew from almost a cell group. And that's a cell group would be an ancient term going back now in Pentecostal circles. But a cell group was a part of a church that would meet in a house. And that's where this church birthed from. And I was a member of that church, member of that cell group. And we used to meet, I think it was on Thursday nights. And we used to have fellowship with there. And then it was obviously Noel and Sharon's dream that they would have their own church representing Dolphin and the surrounding area. So we grew then into a Saturday night meeting. And then we grew into... we went in faith into a Sunday morning meeting, and this is us now. You know, this is us now 6 years later, 7 years later maybe. But it all sprang from a vision. Do you understand what I'm saying? It sprang from a dream or a vision, but underpinned by His vision. Amen? Underpinned by the King's vision. And we're still part of that. We're still growing. We're still wanting to understand what God wants us to achieve. And so it's great to see Simon coming up here, a guy in the background that you very rarely see or very rarely involved with the microphone and with the stage. But it's great to understand that you can get so much involved in this church, that there's so many things to do and so many things that you can get into. And so I would encourage everybody, before I start preaching, to ask around and ask and say, you know, what can I do? Can I get involved with the youth? Can I get involved with the building, helping out, cleaning, doing any work at all, you know, during the week? Can I get involved with the kitchen downstairs? Can I get involved with any of the outreaches? All sorts. So I would encourage everybody to get involved in that. Amen? Let's get involved. Let's not just be seat warmers in this place, because that's not what our vision is, okay? So my job this morning is to preach. I'm going to preach from Matthew 6:24-34, if you can turn there. And this is part of the King's Speech series we've been doing. Noel has been doing it for the last 2 weeks, and he's been doing a tremendous job. Amen. I mean, absolutely blessed by the message last week, really touched by it, really kind of something that grew in me, and something that, you know, we are so blessed as a people when we get to know the King, that blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, blessed. And so there's such a command of blessing in our life, that as we become Christians and as we understand God and as we grow in Christ, there is such a level of peace, blessing, and grace in our life that has to be run for and charged at and grabbed with both hands. Amen. So my job this morning is to preach on the part of the King's Speech which really spoke to me. It's something that, you know, when Jesus Christ says, "Do not worry, I listen," because we can be worriers and we can be people that can be freaked out, and especially nowadays, you know, we live in a funny time. We're coming from a nation that has seeing so much prosperity, so much of, I can just have whatever I want. If I want a new car, I can have a new car. If I want a big flash telly, I can have a big flash telly. And then when the kids say something, Daddy, I want this, and Daddy, I want that. And so for years and years and years, we've gone, yeah, you can have that, and you can have that. And then all of a sudden, bump, it all turns around, and all of a sudden, we can't have that. And that's out my reach. And I don't have brand new cars anymore. And all of a sudden, I don't actually even have a job anymore. And all of a sudden, I'm struggling to pay my mortgage. And it's just gone from one degree to another. But there's nothing new under the sun, the Bible teaches. And Christ always has a word for us. And I'm delighted that I can speak on this morning. So if you can turn to me to Matthew 6, 24 to 34. And my job this morning is to instruct, to encourage, and to bring hope. And that's what I plan to do this morning. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are with me. I thank you, Lord, that you, Lord, I just pray, Lord God, that you would anoint this word, Lord God. I pray, Father God, that you touch me, Lord. Touch me in my heart, Father, that I may speak, Lord, hope, encouragement, Lord, and instruct this morning, Lord God, that I may be a blessing to your people, Lord. And that, Lord, we know that there's people struggling here this morning. We know that there's people that need to hear this message of hope, Lord, that you bring. So, Father, I pray your anointing over this, Lord. I pray that you bless me. I pray, Father God, that you bless, Lord, you know, and bring this word home, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to Matthew 24, 24. So it goes like this. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Excuse me. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow, and they do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And so, what a tremendous statement to make. I'm often blessed by the relevancy of the word. If you look at society today, and if you think about when this was written, it's like you could put that on the newspaper tomorrow, and it'd be as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. You know, we all have the same struggles in life. We all have the same cares in life. But what Jesus is saying here is, he's saying that all these things, all these troubles, guys, you know, let's just try and get into the heart of what he's saying. All these problems that we have, all these troubles that we have, all these cares that we have in the world, he's saying, I know about them. And I love listening to the heart of Christ in the King's Speech. And it's brilliant the way Noel has, you know, got this together and said, I'm gonna preach on the King's Speech. Because there is such a heart for us. He is so concerned about us. He doesn't look over us. He knows that even amongst us this morning, there's trouble in this room. He knows that there's panic in this room. He knows that there's people that maybe are lying awake all night. He knows that there's people in this room worrying about their business, worrying about their mortgage. And again, if I can emphasize, particularly nowadays, he knows that there's people in here that are worrying about their health. And, you know, someone might have got some bad news. He knows all that kind of stuff, and he can hear the heart. But this is what he declares. He says, do not worry. It's so simple. And when I heard this first as a young Christian, I'm thinking, that's easy for him to say. That's easy for him to say. So he could. That's a pass away remark. That's easy for you to say. My life is in a jogger. Do not worry. Do not worry. It's easy for you to say. But you know, we can take what Jesus is saying is that he's not saying it in a flippant way. And look, I'm really trying to find in here. I'm trying to find how I can communicate this stuff to you. Because it can only come by experience. And what Jesus is saying to you, saying to us is that he's saying, do not worry because, and I have it written down here, all the cares and all the distractions we have, yes, they're real, but they distract us from who God is. They distract us from having a right relationship with God. They steer us. This is what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, I'm being flippant about your worries, but he was saying is, if you keep worrying, you're not going to know me. You're not going to know who I really am. You're not going to know my presence. Because every time you come into my presence, you put a list and it's 20 things on it. And by the time you get to the 18th thing on the list, you're thinking about moving away from me now and going on with your day. And it's a constant thing of, God, can you give me this? And God, can I get that? And God, I need this. And God, and can you imagine my son now, Luke, coming into me and every day, and the only relationship I have with my son is when he's asking me for something. The only thing, I only ever see him when he wants something. Can you imagine how disturbing that would be in my heart? And you see, the king's speech is all about the father's heart towards us. And I'm going to get into that later on, about who daddy is, about what he is, about how much he loves us. And what Jesus is saying is, he said, I know all the worries you have in this world. I know about them. But what I'm telling you is, do not worry. Do not worry. A couple of years ago, I was making the decision to go and work for Teen Challenge. I had a good job as a rep. There was a car involved in it, and there was a phone, and there was expenses and all that kind of stuff, and there was a good kind of baseline salary and a decent enough business. And I remember I went up to visit Teen Challenge. I'll just share this really quickly. I went up, and it was only starting. Phil Thompson is here, and the manager is here, and Phil was up there, and they were doing a bit of work on the place, and he was telling me about this, that, and the other. And I remember driving away, and as those of you who don't know me, I came through the Teen Challenge ministry years ago, back in the mid-90s. And I always had a heart for Teen Challenge, you know, always had a heart, but I was never really involved in Teen Challenge. And I was dropping one of the guys up, and I remember having to look around, and all of a sudden, it was like, I don't know, God done open heart surgery on me. Just boom, 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 boom. And I remember driving down in my company car and all, thinking everything was great. And all of a sudden, I just felt the tears rolling down my face, and I think, Lord, I want to go up there and serve you up there, but I can't. And I remember falling back the tears, and I'm saying, no, Lord, I can't. And you see, the worries of the world, I can't give up this job. And I was talking to Phil and was talking to another guy, Alan, who was involved at the time. I remember Alan telling me the salary, and I'm saying, I definitely can't. There's no way, stop, Lord. And sometimes, I love that song, Rob, he won't relent. He won't relent. It took him almost 14 years to get me to a place where I could listen. But he kept at me, day in and day out. I want you to serve in Teen Challenge. You can do it. I can't, Lord. Stop it. And a few months went on, and you won't relent, you won't relent. Stuff kept on going on. And I decided in faith that I would ring Phil and ask for an interview. And things started moving, and I got involved. And I told Vicky, and Vicky nearly dropped. And I said, Vicky, we're going to work. Well, I'm going to work up. And I believe God's calling me to Teen Challenge. The salary is this. And she boom, hit the deck. And then she got her back up. And then I'm going to give up the car. I'm going to go, boom, got back up. And then how am I going to fund this? I don't know. Boom, got her back up. You know, again, God was impressing on her, and God was giving her dreams, and he was showing her things. And so I started to work on Teen Challenge. I stepped out in faith, guys. I let go of the worries, and I stepped out in faith. And then about a year into it, I slipped back in to the worries of the world. And I took on a part-time job, and I was working in a part-time job, and I was exhausted. I remember going to bed, and I was trying to get a few bob. And I was so tired, I couldn't sleep. I don't know, has anyone ever been there? I was so tired, I couldn't sleep. I was in such a panic about who's going to pay the bills, and how am I going to get the mortgage this month, and the kids need stuff, you know, for school, and the books, and it's just all the bills were piling in. And I just felt a sense of panic. And I was one of those people that would wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, 4 o'clock and can't go back to sleep. And just sitting there and constantly thinking about things and consumed by the worries of the world. Absolutely consumed by it. And I remember I got the breakthrough. And God says to me one day, he says, Eddie, and it was a conversation. I don't know if any of you have had a conversation with God. But I had a conversation with God at this time. And he says, Eddie, when you first became a Christian, remember I told you, do not let any unwholesome language come out of your mouth. And I said, yes, Lord. And didn't you stop cursing? And I said, yes, Lord. And I had the filthiest language mouth that you could ever meet. And didn't you stop cursing? And I said, yeah, I did, Lord. And Eddie, didn't I impress on you about morals and teen challenge and about a sense of ethic? And I said, yes, you did, Lord. And didn't you apply that ethic and morals to your life? I said, yes, I did, Lord. And didn't you follow me, Eddie, by going to church and doing all the things? I said, yes, I did, Eddie. Well, Eddie, why don't you listen to that command? Don't worry. And it was like he could have knocked me over with a feather. Jesus says, don't worry. He's not appealing to our senses. He's not appealing to our maybes. He's saying, don't worry. It's not a thing where I have to make this up in my mind. Maybe I won't worry today. No, Jesus is saying, don't worry. And a thing started to become clearer to me. Honestly, the breakthrough was in, well, I don't curse and swear. I keep my morals. I go to church. I listen. I pray. And now I'm not going to worry. And it was as simple as that. I'm not going to worry anymore. And I decided to give up the part-time job. I decided to trust in the Lord. I said, if I'm going up there teaching these guys faith every day, I'm going to have faith myself. So I gave up the part-time job and I said, Lord, you need to bring in the money. That was, before Christmas. And ever since then, once I stepped out in faith and said, Lord, I'm not going to worry. As a command, I'm not going to worry. Things have just fallen into place for me. The bills still need to be paid. Everything's still there, but I don't worry about them. Listen, when Jesus says don't worry, it doesn't mean I'm going to take everything away. Everything is still there, but we don't worry about them. What a principle to live by, guys. What a statement to live by. Don't worry. It's easy for you to say. It's not easy for me to say. Don't worry. Don't worry. And so, another thing that we can have in this is the fear of the future. It's the fear of where we will be next year. It's the fear of where we will be, this time next week. All that kind of stuff. The worries about, will I be able to pay my mortgage? Where am I going to live? What job am I going to have? Who am I going to be? Where am I going to be? And that's another worry. And Jesus says, don't worry about that. And this leads me into my next point. He says, worry about the spiritual realm. He says, worry about who God is. He says, worry about what God is doing in your life. He says, be concerned about what God is saying to you. Because if we're all the time thinking about, well, if I have this, and if I have that, and if I get that, and happiness is in a new car, and you know, if I got this, I feel happy now. And Jesus said, no, be concerned about what I'm saying to you and where I'll have you in a year's time. If you would have said to me 3 years ago, Eddie, you're going to be woken up in Teen Challenge, I would have said, no way. No way. But because I tapped into what God is doing in my life and I let go of all the other things, then all of a sudden, the blessing that I have over the last 2 years working in Teen Challenge, I'll never get. I would have never known sitting back worrying about this and about my new job and about my fancy car and about my phone. I would have never have experienced waking up there. I would have never experienced baptizing 10 guys today in the beach in Greystones. I would have never been there. I'd never been to a point where I'd be up here preaching. I'd never be to the point where I get to know God on a fatherly level that I look after you, Eddie. I would never have known on them terms. I'll pay the bills, Eddie. I'll look after your young fellas, Eddie. I'll give you everything you need. I would have never known that because I was so concerned about you give me a check and I'll be all right. And I have a fancy car and I'll be, and I've never known Daddy like that. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, don't worry about the future, the body, or all this. Worry about what God is doing. What's He saying in your life? Where does He want you next year? Not where does the job want you next year. Where does He want you next year? Everything is secondary. Everything is secondary other than what God is saying. That's the command. Now I want to talk about the promise. The promise is that if you seek Him first, I love this. If you seek Him first, see the burden is lifted, guys. This is all about faith here this morning. It's about faith. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will follow. See, Jesus, what Jesus is saying is, everything you're worrying about, guys, is secondary. What's important is me. Everything else is secondary. What's really important is me. And if you, and see, guys, I want you to go home today, and I want you to even say to yourself, Lord, I'm going to hold you to that promise. This is the promise. I've already talked about the command. Now I'm talking about the promise. Hold them to it. Say, Lord, you said, if I don't worry about these things, and if I seek your kingdom first, you're going to give me. So you need to do this. Amen? So hold them to it. The Bible says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. You're not testing Him. You're holding Him to a promise. Can you understand that this morning? You're holding Him to a. It's all about faith. It's all about a stand, what platform you stand on. I'm holding you to this God. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to seek your kingdom first. And so you need to do that other stuff, okay? It's too simple, isn't it? Do you want me to complicate it a bit more? Or would I leave it at that? But that's how the King's Speech is all about simplicity. It's all about the heart of God. Putting the kingdom first is, okay, here, these are issues we need to put first in our life. Okay? Really simple. So we put faith in the King is a kingdom, seeking the kingdom first. So I have faith in God. I wake up every morning and believe in God. Can you imagine if my kids were at home, right? My three kids are home. And I have, the fridge has food in it, you know what I mean? And the press has food in it and all that kind of stuff. And I come home from work and it's 5 o'clock and it's dinner time, the kids are hungry. Can you imagine? And guys, this is the father heart of God here. Listen to this, okay? Oh, this is how I see my kids. Imagine how he sees his kids. And the kids are having a conversation at the table with each other thinking, are we going to get dinner today? I wonder, are they going to feed us? I wonder, am I going to have clothes in the morning? I wonder, am I going to have somewhere to live? And the kids are having this conversation between themselves. I wonder, is someone going to make me dinner? And you can imagine me as a daddy looking at them, thinking, what? Of course I'm going to make you dinner. Of course I'm going to clothe you. Of course I'm going to look after you. Do you think I'm not going to do that? Can you imagine how hurt I would be? Guys, Daddy God is the same. You're saying to God, oh, what's going to happen next? That's what you're saying to Him. If you're saying to God, Lord, I'm about to lose my job now. I don't know what's going to happen. You're saying that I have no faith in you. My kids have faith in me. Do you understand what I'm saying? They have faith in me. They know I'm going to make them dinner. They know I'm going to put clothes on them in the morning. They have faith in me. And it's a childlike faith. And that's what God talks about. A childlike faith. Belief that He is going to meet that need. There's no questions. There's none of crawling on your knees in the front room for an hour and then thinking, are you going to do it now? It's offensive to God. It's an offense to Him. It hurts Him. That's why He gave us this speech. Do not worry, guys. Look at the grass of the field. In all its splendor, even Solomon wasn't dressed like that. And that's cut down today and in the fire tomorrow. You don't think I'm going to dress you? Do you not think I'm going to look after you? Your body? Don't the sparrows have food to eat? How much more value of you than a sparrow? Of course I'm going to look after you. Don't worry about them things. Worry about the kingdom of God. Faith in God. Guys, listen. Trust in the King. These are faith issues. These are kingdom issues. Trust. Can you trust him today? Can you trust him? Can we say, Lord, you know what? I'm just going to let this happen, man. Can you just say, Lord, just let him go. I trust in you, Lord. I trust you. Amen, guys. I'm trying to speak hope into this place this morning. I don't want people walking out of here with the same kind of language in their head. God, please look after me. God, please don't let anything happen to me. I'm trying to get that language out because I have to get it out of my own head. He doesn't want that language. He wants a language of, I trust you, God. I know you're going to look after me. It's gone. That fear is gone, Lord. And our enemy will put in and say, God, I'm not going to look after you. You're going to starve. You lose that job, you're going to starve. You're going to be out on the streets if you lose that. You don't have a mortgage. Don't you know you have a mortgage? You're going to be out. You're going to, and the devil will spin that lie in us. And he will, it's like my neighbor coming in and sitting amongst my kids and saying to my kids, your daddy's not going to feed you today. You've no clothes upstairs and your daddy's going to let you go naked. Yeah, it's like a little neighbor coming in and saying, they're going to turn off, your daddy's going to turn off all the lights and all. Yeah, I have all these resources. I have food in the cupboard. I have everything light and heat. I have all these resources. Don't you think I'm going to hold that back for my children? Just, I'm hearing it this morning. Do you think I'm going to hold that back for my children? No way. There's no way. Don't you know that daddy is the same? Don't you know that he has cattle on the thousand hills, the Bible teaches, that he has resources of resources. But it's just a matter of us saying, God, I just trust that you're going to give me them resources. And now I want to pray about finding your heart. I want to pray about what you want me to do. I'm not going to beg you anymore for things. I'm not going to plead with you for things. I want to know who you are, Dad. I want to know where you want me in the church, Lord. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve? I want to know about, Lord, will you teach me how to talk to my family? Lord, all that language of begging, please, and can I is gone. Maybe if, probably, is gone. He wants us to get rid of that language, okay? Are you with me this morning? Will I keep going? Will I keep going? Hope in the King. We have a hope in our God. These are seeking the kingdom of God first. Hope, faith, trust. These are the kingdom issues. These are the things I put first. Hope, faith, trust. I trust in God. My hope is in God. My faith is in God. How come you're one of these guys that are going around with a big stupid smile on your face? Hope, faith, and trust. Will you get that stupid smile off your face? I remember in certain jobs going in and every Monday morning I had a big smile on my face. And all the guys be doing my hangover and I said, oh, here's Smiley. Where's the spirit? How come you're so happy? Hope, faith, and trust. I'm not doing that stuff anymore. I'm not doing the worry anymore. I'm refusing. Because I know that it hurts my dad when I do that. And then lastly of all, in my terms, seeking ye first the righteousness of the kingdom of God, is evangelizing the truth of God. Evangelizing who Father God is. So in other words, if you're with a group of people and you're standing there talking and you're the Christian in the group and all you're doing is complaining about money and complaining about clothes and complaining about I don't have this and I don't have that and I can't get that and I'm in the same boat as you and I can't get this and I'm trying to get that. The person's looking at you, there's no hope in you. And then you say to them, I'm a Christian, I'm a born again Christian, I go to that church up in Liberties. You're like, what? You're as bad as me. Where's the hope? You hear me? Where's the hope? You're just as bad as them. Why would I want to go there? You're bad as them. And I'm not saying to put a falsehood onto it. I'm not saying pretending that I have hope. But if you truly have it in your heart, faith, trust, hope, it just oozes out of you. I remember when I came, a young drug addict, I came into contact with Christians, and all I wanted to be was like them. I remember meeting Noel for the first time. He's like this little guy going around, where's he coming from? Where are you from? Top of his brain? Well, everybody I knew was all crunched up and all that kind of. Here's a guy standing there and he's standing proud. I said, what would you have, man? Give me some of that, will you? I just wanted to be around people that had faith, trust, hope in their life. I wanted to know where they got it from. I wanted to be able to tap into it. There's a light in their eyes, guys. And it's not a pretending thing. It's a real issue. It's a real truth. I'm running out of time. I want to move on to the last part of this. I'm not missing a couple of points there, but I need to push on. I want to move on to the prayer point, because if you could turn me in scripture there, turn to me Mark 6. Verse 8. And so we all know this, it's the Our Father. And notice asked me to share a little bit on this because it's part of the King's speech. Prayer, I have prefaced everything what I've just said there about don't worry, about the principles of not worrying, about understanding the Father heart of God, about knowing His love and our belonging in Him. Now, Jesus understood this. And the disciples went to Him and says, how do we pray then? Show us how to pray. And if we can understand this, that prayer in the Christian life is a massive part of his life or her life. Prayer is everything. We don't move without prayer. We don't jump into anything without prayer. But it's not the prayer of the pagans. You see, and us coming from Catholic Ireland, we can understand that language. Repetitive. Saying things over and over again. And nobody wants to know about prayer like that. Why would I want to go and pray to God? So all I'm doing is repeating myself all the time. And what is prayer? And the disciples knew that. So he says, what is prayer? And Jesus starts like this. He says, Our Father. Now, he's not saying this stuff to be repeated down and down and down through the centuries. He wasn't saying this here. He was laying down a prayer. Now, we have repeated that prayer all through the centuries. But he's laying down a principle we have when we go into prayer. It's an edict. It's a discipline. When I go into prayer, first thing I do is acknowledge Our Father, my Daddy in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Look how it's broken down, guys. Okay, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are our debtors. And lead us into temptation, but deliver us not. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us not from evil. I'll know that prayer inside out, but look at the principles behind it. The first thing we do is we acknowledge who Father is. The second thing we do is we acknowledge that He's God. Hallowed be your name. I can never say to Peter Fitzgerald, hallowed be your name. I can never make that statement about Peter. Well, Peter probably liked me to make that statement, but I could never make that statement about Peter or any man or any person in this room or any woman in this room. Peter said, hallowed be. The only one hallowed is God. He is the only one that can be said, hallowed be your name. You are God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Guys, we all have a kingdom. And sometimes we're the king and sometimes he's the king. Sometimes it's my kingdom and sometimes it's his kingdom. But when we enter into a place of prayer, we acknowledge, Father, your kingdom come, not mine. And my principle is that I may decrease, that he must increase. So his kingdom first, my kingdom last. Not me, Paul says, but Christ in me. So the principle of prayer is when we go into a place on our own and say, Lord, you are God, you are King, you are my Father, and I want your kingdom first. And these are the principles laid down. And then we ask, give us this day our daily bread. Then we seek God for issues that we need, knowing, not begging God, but knowing that he will release this stuff onto us. Because I've already saw his righteousness and his kingdom first. Knowing, not pleading. I will never let my kids beg for dinner. Does any man in this room let his sons beg for dinner? No. Why would I want to beg my dad? Does any woman in this room would let their kids beg for dinner? Could you imagine walking in and your kids are pleading with you for dinner on their knees? And your neighbor walks in on top of that? I'm getting a dodgy reaction there. Okay. Someone's saying they're begging their mammies not to make them dinner. But, and it wasn't Louise Cassidy. Guys, come on, let's get this through. We don't beg God for anything. We ask God, knowing that He will give us. And then, here's the biggie. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sinned against us, or our debts. We live in a life of grace given. Listen to this and write this down if you're writing down. We live in a life of grace given, and we live out of a life of grace given. Do you understand that statement? We live a life of grace receiving. I receive the grace. You have forgiven me my sins. Now I live a life of grace giving. Will I say it again? We live in the principle of grace given. And now I live in the principle of grace receiving. Now I live in the principle of grace giving. It's as simple as that. I am forgiven, now I forgive. The Delirious has a brilliant song, "Forgiven so that I can forgive." It's a hard one, guys. And nobody likes to hear it. It's right. It's put right at the end there. Forgive us our sins as you have forgiven our sins. We can't move on from that principle of prayer. If you hold something against a brother, prayer life funnels into a knot and can't move on. I'm a grace given. Now I need to give grace out. It's a principle we can't get away from. We cannot get away from that stuff. It's in there. I wish, you know what, guys? I wake up some mornings and I wish that wasn't there. Amen. And it's, you know, in some Bibles I have that blacked out. Did you really say that, Lord? I'm still forgiving people from years ago. Someone said to me, "How often do you forgive someone?" I said, I'm forgiving someone 16 years. Same person, same thing. I can't get away from it. But I can't honestly look my God in the eye and hold it against him because of all that I've been forgiven for and all that I will be forgiven for. I live in a life of grace receiving. Now I have to live out a life of grace giving. It's just that simple. It's just that simple, guys. Paul says in Romans, and I'm finishing with this point. Paul says in Romans, he says, "When you have gone from the knowledge of Father to Abba Father." Now, I've highlighted that. That's not the exact text, but that's the gist of what he's saying. When you've moved from a knowledge of Father to Abba Father, okay? And what the word Abba Father means, it's a colloquial term that young Jewish children called their dad. In other words, daddy. So Paul is saying, when you've gone from a place of Father God to Daddy God. And what Paul is saying is, this is where we need to get to. This is this is how we progress as Christians. So I will know a God, I will know of a God, and He's God the Father. And I will see God, and we will talk about Him. But the real revelation is getting to know Him as Daddy. Can we understand that this morning? The real revelation is getting to know Him as Daddy, getting to know the intimate God. I don't know Him as Father, I know Him as Daddy. He's my dad. The same way as my two sons and my daughter, I am their only daddy. They can't go to Peter and say daddy. They can't go to Phil and say daddy. Because he's not their daddy. I am their daddy. And they know me intimately as daddy. And Father wants us to know Him intimately as Daddy. And when we know Daddy on them terms, we know that He will provide. We'll know that he will look after us. There's no worry. We'll know that he has all the resources of heaven. We know that he will care for us. We know that he's asking me to forgive so we can forgive. We know that we can approach these issues, understanding that my daddy is telling me these things and encouraging me into doing these things. And guys, there's a warning that if we only know him as Father, we can come into church, and I've finished with this. I've counseled people in here. I've talked with people in here. I've been with Noel, and we've talked about people that have come and gone in this church, and there's been many of them, unfortunately. You know, particularly in the time we were in St. Andrews, there were many people that are gone and we've never seen again. And when we bump into them or when we talk about them, the only ever new Father. And they would come into a church setting like this, and they would listen to a band, and they would, it's an emotional thing. I'm getting hooked on this emotion, this everybody praying, and I never knew Christian church was like this. I never knew that man, I this is crazy. That's a great time of worship there. And then you get up and you listen to Noel preaching, and you throw a few jokes in, and we're all laughing, and we get into the emotion of all these things. I'm not saying that there was no depth to Noel, but sometimes we only hear the jokes. We don't hear the depth of what he's saying. And so we only get to know Father. And so when you walk out of here and it's an emotional thing, and if this is a warning, when we hit life and we hit the world, if it's only an emotional thing, it's just skin deep and it's gone. It's kicked to touch in a minute. When Christianity makes you uncomfortable out there, then you know him as daddy or father. Are you prepared to pay a price when people say, don't go to that stupid church up in Liberty, do they? Oh, headbangers. Would you make a statement and say, yeah, I do go to that church, actually. There you do go. Someone offers you a drink and say, no, I don't drink. Why don't you drink? Are you prepared to say, because I'm a Christian? Why don't you drink? Because that's the question you get asked. Someone offers you a joint or something like that. Why don't you smoke? Is there something wrong with you? And the problem is, guys, if you only know him as Father, it's easy to say, yeah, I tipped into there a few times. You're right, they're all mad. Give us that point. Give us that joint. I won't be made uncomfortable for God. And guys, I want to, you know, we need to get to know him as daddy. We need to get to know him intimately. We need to get to know him that this is my God and I'm prepared to stand up for him. This is my God and I'm prepared to if it costs me anything, if it costs me my morals, if it costs me my standing and being rejected by my friends, well then so be it. Because if you only know him as this figure of in the sky, then he's easily kicked to touch. Elijah spoke about the river, and the man had a vision, and he was brought into the river. You'll read it in the account of Elijah, and he brought him in ankle deep. This is the picture of Christians of gotten to know God, and then he brought him in knee deep. And you see, when you're ankle deep, it's easy to get back out. Anyone gone swimming? When you go in ankle deep, it's easy to jump back out. And then he brought him in knee-deep. And even when you're in knee-deep, it's easy to get back out of the river. And then he brought him into the hips. Still, it's easy to get back out, but it's a bit more work. But then he brought him in swimming. It's not as easy to get back out. You're into the depths of who Christ is. You know the heart of God. There's people in this room that would die for Christ. Amen? But there's also people in this room that will kick him to touch in a second. What I'm saying to you is get to know him. Go deeper. Reach out in faith. Express your Christianity through your language, through who you are, through your testimony, through what you want to experience, through who you are experiencing. Don't beg God for anything. Ask him in knowing that he will give you. So he knows everything anyway.